We're going to think a little bit about patience today, and the reading that we're going to use is, we're going to be all over the place in Scripture this morning, so it'll be useful if you've got a Bible with you, either a physical Bible or an electronic version on a device, to have that ready to hand. The words of most of the Scriptures will come up on the screen as we go through, but it'll be useful to you to have that. But here's the reading for today from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we're zooming in on patience. And boy, we have had to have a lot of patience over the last year, haven't we? We've needed to stretch our patience muscles. And those of us who are slightly less patient than others, it was probably been a great struggle. You'll know that I've been away on holiday for the last 3 Sundays. We were down in the southwest of England. And I'd like to think I'm a fairly patient person. And I thought I was a patient person until I discovered the single track sunken roads of the southwest of England. You know, single track roads in Scotland, you're used to, because you can usually see far away in the distance, you can see where the next passing spot is. Southwest of England, it's high hedge rows, and it's really quite fun when you come across a lorry that's carrying lumber, and he's not for moving, and you're not going to fight a lorry carrying lumber at all, and you have to back up, I don't know, it felt like half a mile, it probably wasn't that. But, you know, you can imagine my language at this point. It was very sweet and perfect, and it was not in any way to be faulted. My patience was tested sorely. We got to the point on holiday, we were going to a particular beach, and we discovered that it was simpler to go via a ferry across the river rather than take the long route round. And so we paid for the ferry. We thought that was great. It was on that journey that we met the lorry with the lumber on it, having been really smart. So my patience was being sorely tried at various points during our time away. We had a great time. On the whole, apart from that, well, apart from a few other things as well. It was a holiday full of challenges, but full of great joy as well. But our patience has been tried, and for some of us, maybe it's been found wanting in the last 16 months, 17 months or so. But patience is something that is really important. And it's important biblically, in the biblical witness. It's something that comes through again and again. We're using the version that we put up on the screen there is from the English Standard Version. In the NIV, which some of you will have before you, patience is something is called forbearance, which is not a word we use very often, so it's not an easily understandable word in our culture. In some translations, for example, the King James Version, it's long-suffering. Long-suffering is how we are translating patience today. But it's the third sign or the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. But we're also commanded to show it. We're commanded to show patience. Colossians 3 verse 12 says this, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." So just as the last 3 weeks, this is the first time I've been in long trousers for about 3 weeks, and I had to decide what I was going to wear this morning. Some of you have already decided I've made poor choices in what I've chosen to wear today. But I had to choose what to wear, knowing that I'd been in a t-shirt and shorts for 3 weeks. I had to make a decision what I was going to put on today. And what the Bible tells us, what God tells us, is you choose every day how you're going to be. What you're going to put on, what you're going to show to the world. You make that determination. You ought to think about it. How am I going to be before you, Lord, and before the rest of the world today? As God's chosen people, clothe yourself with patience. It should be a feature. It should be something that shines from us. We are a patient people. So I have some questions to ask today to help us think through this. How are we going to be patient? What is patience? Where does it come from? And how might we achieve this in our lives? Well, let's think a little bit about what patience is. There are lots of different ways of looking at it, particularly from a standpoint of the Bible. First of all, we might see it as being the ability to wait for something or someone. If you've ever had that experience where you are going to a meeting and you're waiting for someone to arrive and you have to be patient and they're late and they've not sent you a message to say where they are and what's going on. Some of us are really punctual. Some of us like to be there on time. Some of us just like to turn up a little bit later. You know, you know that if you're going to be late for a meeting, you should never say you're late. You just say you've been delayed. It makes you sound all the more important. You've heard me say that before, I'm sure. But some of us are like that. We turn up late, and some of us get really impatient when people are not on time. And we need this ability to wait for something or someone. So in Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about this. He talks about it in this way in verse 25. He's talking about the joys of eternal life into which we have not yet entered. And he says this, but if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. If we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In that it's not yet time for us to leave and to go to heaven. Sometimes when people come towards the end of their life, they get to the point of saying, you know, I just want to go. I don't have patience anymore for this, for this life. It's time for me to go. I want to go. Lord, take me home. People will say that when they reach the point of the end of their life. So we wait for things. That is how we might exhibit patience. Or how about this? It's the ability to continue doing something despite difficulties, even when things seem to be going horribly wrong. We don't just give up. We have recently been thinking through the letter of James, and the whole, really the first chapter of James is all about this. Keeping going, persevering in the face of difficulties and pain. We've all had to learn that, or perhaps relearn that, or reinforce that over the last 16 months. To keep on going, not giving up, even in the face of the stresses and the strains of being in lockdown and being under restrictions. Or it might be about the ability to endure suffering, physical suffering or emotional suffering, without complaining or becoming annoyed. It's quite a difficult thing to do. Some of us, when things are going wrong physically or emotionally, we'll shout out to the Lord. We'll shout out to anybody who will listen. It's not fair. Ever done that? It just doesn't feel fair that this is happening to me. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 10. God's people are warned that a time is going to come when war will be waged against Christians. When would a war against Christians ever be fair? It will never be a fair war, should that happen. And verse 10 declares, if anyone is to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is killed with the sword they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. So what John is saying is that we believers will face trials and difficulties. They will face suffering for being a Christian, for being a follower of Jesus. Many people are suggesting we're living in such a time it will become harder for us to proclaim Christian faith, and some of us might end up suffering for that in some way. People around the world already experience that. It's not easy being a Christian in somewhere like Iran or China. It's not easy to be a follower of Christ in some countries around the world. And God's people in those places need to be incredibly patient in the face of that. When I think of folk in lands like that, it makes any trials that I face just fall into a place of insignificance in many ways. Or how about this? Patience is the ability to control one's emotions even when you're being criticized or attacked. Ever had that experience when someone is having a go at you? When someone's giving you a rough time? When someone's criticizing you for not doing something or not doing something right or in the way that they think you should do it? Not being the person that they want you to be? All of us will have gone through that experience. How do you respond when that happens to you? How do you respond when someone has a go? When someone attacks you? I think one of the things about politicians is that politicians need to have a thick skin. They need to grow a thick skin. If you don't have a thick skin, you're going to really struggle as a politician. Pastors need to have a thick skin as well. It's often said that pastors need to have a thick skin and a soft heart so that you can hear what people are saying without taking it, without it damaging you too badly. You need to have a thick skin to repel the attacks of people. Politicians and pastors have that in common. An example of this showing patience when he stood before his accusers, and he did not strike back even when struck. It's quite a difficult thing to do, isn't it? When someone's having a go at you, let's say you're married. You ever been in that situation where you fall out with your partner? Nobody's going to admit that that happens, but it happens in most couples have a disagreement with one another. And you just want to say something. You just want to get them back. I mean, this will be you. It never happens in my life like this. But you just want to get them back. And where patience comes in is where you're restrained from doing that. The Holy Spirit stops you uttering the thing that will make perhaps a bad situation even worse than it already is. That's the patience of Jesus, the patience that comes from the Holy Spirit at work. Or patience is the ability to remain calm when someone's not doing what you want them to do. How easy it is to get irritated with them, to lose patience with them. Paul really focuses on this, on the need for patience with others in the first letter, in his first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 14, when he says this, "And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive." It's good, this, isn't it? So in the body of Christ, don't be lazy. Don't be disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. It's a command of Paul. Encourage those who are disheartened. Help those who are weak. And be patient with everyone. One of the marks of the church, of any church that is seeking God, is that we will be patient with one another. Like, you have to be patient with me, and I have to be patient with all of you. That's dead easy, because you're all easy to be patient with. But that's a mark of the church, isn't it? Be patient, not just with those you like, not just with those who are easy. Be patient even with those who are a little bit disruptive, even with those who want to make a big noise in the life of the church. Be patient with them. It doesn't say just let them run rampant. You need to warn people, but be patient with them. Be loving with them in the face of that. So it's fascinating to see how the Bible witnesses to the power and the importance of patience within the life of the community of Christ. So I wonder this morning how you are, how patient you are on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not very patient and 10 being very patient, where you would place yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. Just ask yourself that question. And I'm guessing that most of us could do with being a little bit more patient. But it is really difficult. It is really difficult being patient. I wonder why that is. Why is it so much more difficult now, probably than at any other time in history? And I think part of it is because we live in a society where everything is instant, don't we? Everything is instant. Used to be, remember the olden days, you would take a photograph on your camera and it would have a roll of film in it. And you would get to the end of the roll of film. It would maybe take 24 shots or 36 shots. And then you would have to take the film out and take it to the shop for processing. And you usually have to wait a day or two for it to come back and to be ready. Now, that's disappeared. You take your photographs, they're all there. You can see, put them up on the screen. You can see them immediately. And you look at them on the screen. You don't generally print them off unless you're going to frame them or something. And that's just one symbol of that. Another symbol would be this. Making coffee. I'm just going to have a sip of my coffee because I feel a little bit dry. It's instant coffee, by the way. It's not properly made coffee. My wife will be very disapproving of me not having made instant coffee. But it's instant coffee. Instant coffee is a symbol of where our culture, where our society is. Everything's instant. Instant messaging on the smartphone. How did we ever manage before we had smartphones? It's amazing. Heat, hot water and heating in houses. It's all instant. We expect houses to be warm. In the olden days, you put up with the fact that your house was cold. I grew up at a time where every winter we had ice on the windows and the inside of the window. It was just normal. You expected that to happen. That would be like, what? You've got ice on the inside of your windows? We don't have that. We have instant heat, instant hot water coming out. So much so, while we were on holiday, actually, one of the places that we stayed in had nothing but hot water. There was no cold water. There was something wrong with the system. So it was all hot water. And we complained about it, that we had hot water. That's the kind of culture that we're in. We get money from the cash point, the instant cash point. In fact, so important is that you use the cash point. I only discovered yesterday that the bank account I have, I'm not allowed to go into the bank to talk to the people in the bank. I can only use the cash point. I hadn't realized this until yesterday when I thought, oh, the bank is open this morning. I will go in and talk to the people in the bank. And they said, no, you can't use it with your account. You can't come in and talk to us. You need to use the machine outside because we live in an instant culture. Everything is instant, non-engaging. It said that patience is a virtue. But I wonder if that is really being encouraged now. Patience is not so much of a virtue as it once was. We would wait for stuff. We would save up for stuff. But patience is actually something that our culture, our time, people need. Patience is wonderful. The things that we know about patience that have been shown to be true. Patient people enjoy better mental health. If you're patient, you suffer less stress. Impatient people suffer stress, which is physically seen in a bright red face. My face is a bit red today, but I'd like to think it's tan rather than anything else. Studies show that patient people experience less depression, fewer negative emotions. Those people who are patient towards others tend to be more hopeful and satisfied with life. Patient people are less stressed in traffic jams, calmer during. How do you get stressed out in a traffic jam? I tell you, the funny thing for me was I've been in various traffic jams over the last 6 weeks or so since restrictions come in. And when I get caught in a traffic jam, do you know what I do now? I just go, this is great. It's a traffic jam. This is wonderful. Because I've had 16 months of not being in traffic jams, not being able to drive anywhere or go anywhere. It's now quite exciting. Oh, it's a traffic jam. And then maybe a little bit of concern because you don't know why the traffic jam is happening. Maybe there's an accident ahead. Patient people are less stressed in those kind of circumstances. So patient people enjoy better mental health. They make better friends and better neighbours. If you're a patient person, you're easier to be around. Studies show that patient people who listen and support others, even when the same thing is being said over and over again, you ever had that experience? You sometimes get that with senior citizens who tell you the same story, the same thing. They'll tell you again and again, and you know, you should never say, I don't think you should ever say, you've told me that. I'm just protecting myself here from the day where I do this all the time already, and I'm not that old. But it's not a helpful thing to say, you've already told me that. Patient people will just listen again because this story is an important story to that person. They need to be able to tell that. story. Studies show that patient people who listen to support others, even when the same things be said over and over again, are more empathetic, more equitable, more forgiving. And the thing about that is, you're liked that little bit more if you're a patient person, because you do those things. Studies also show that patient people are better able to make and keep friends as they're less focused on the flaws of others. Patience also helps us to achieve our goals in life. There's a saying that says the road to achievement is a long one. You want to achieve something, you've got to be patient. There's no shortcuts, and patient people are more likely to put in the time and consistent effort to achieve their goals, whereas impatient people are more likely to give up when the going gets tough. I would love to be taking part in the Olympics. Pole vaulting, I would love to have a go at. I offered myself for the GB pole vaulting team, but apparently I don't fit the profile. I don't fit, basically. I wouldn't do it, and I wasn't prepared to put the time, the energy, and the effort to train to be an Olympic pole vaulter. You're going to do something, you've got to put in the effort. You've got to be patient and work at it. There's a study of students that showed those who were patient in their studying did better in their final results. If you patiently, and that's why parents will encourage their children, do a little bit of work. You know, if your child says, right, I'm going in to do my higher English, and you know that they haven't done any work, then you will suspect in your mind that they might not do very, very well. Chances are they won't do very well, and then when they don't get the great result that they thought they were going to get, you need to bite your tongue and not necessarily tell them that they haven't done the work that was necessary. Patience is also linked to good health in general. Those who are patient suffer fewer headaches, less acne, less ulcers, less stomach problems, and less pneumonia. On the other hand, impatient people have more health complaints, worse sleep, and more stress-related illnesses. So there are benefits to being a patient people. But let me focus in on two types of patience. There's a lot of different definitions of what it is, and it's a huge kind of area to look at. But there's two types of patience that maybe we need to focus in on this morning. The first one is the need to wait patiently for the timing of the Lord. And the second one is the need for perseverance in our walk with the Lord. But how do we become patient people? How do we become patient people? Is it natural to us as human beings, or is it a supernatural gift from God? Well, it's natural in the sense that we are all made in the image of God. And one of the things the Bible tells us is that God is patient with us. God is infinitely patient. So we are both disciples and those of us who are human beings, we are both disciples and non-disciples. And we're told that God is patient. Peter in his second letter, the second letter of Peter, chapter 3, and verses 7 to 9, it says this, But do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. What a wonderful word of God that is. God is patient with us. Like the forgiving father with the prodigal son, waiting for the prodigal son to return, looking out the door day after day, longing for the son to return, but no sign, no sign, no sign, no sign, and then the son returns. God is patient with us like that, longing for people to turn to him. One of the things about taking time off is that sometimes on a Sunday, particularly on holiday, we see what people around us are doing more. And we know that people have disconnected from spiritual things and disconnected from God and have no time for God and they see no need for spiritual things. This is probably one of the most difficult generations that has ever lived in terms of reaching out with the gospel of Christ, because people's needs are not so evident and their spiritual needs are not so evident. But it's interesting, isn't it? The further away from God we get, the more impatient we seem to become. Do you see that people are more impatient around us. And I wonder if there is a connection between that impatience, that need for everything to be instant, and our lack of connection with God. Why is this? Well, I ask the question, have we become more selfish, thinking only of what we want, and therefore we wish to have it all and have it now? We maybe see a little bit of that as we begin to come out of lockdown and restrictions are lifted. Have you noticed? I think people are just getting a little bit, it's all over. It's all over, it's fine, everything's going to be okay now. And people are a little bit less sensitive, not maybe giving one another the space that some people we need. We need to be sensitive to this. Some people are fine and they think it is all over. We need to respect that and honour that. But we also need to think about those who maybe are feeling, continue to feel a little bit vulnerable and concerned about what lies ahead. But I detect that. I think people, we are seeing an increase in people's selfishness, thinking of only what we want. And that's not a sign that we want to exhibit in the life of the church. Let me give you an example of that. One of the great debates that is going to engage us in the coming months is the whole business of vaccine passports and whether we ought to have vaccine passports to go to the nightclub. So if you're going to the nightclub, you'll need to have a passport to get in that proves that you've been vaccinated or had a negative test for COVID. So those of you who go to nightclubs, you're maybe going to find that quite tricky. But there's also a suggestion that maybe you'll need a vaccine passport to come to church. And so you can imagine the situation at the door where the welcomers, so we had Gavin and Amanda welcoming. They will no longer be our welcomers, they will be our bouncers. And rather like, if you've ever been to a nightclub, one of the things that nightclub bouncers will do is they look you up and down and they'll say, you're not getting in here with those shoes on. Or not tonight, lads, if it's a group of young lads trying to get in. So our bouncers, Amanda and Gavin, will have to say, can you show me your vaccine passport? And if you haven't got your vaccine passport, they will have to go, no. And, you know, they'll need to have their walkie-talkies to talk to the rector to say, we've got one outside, not got a vaccine passport, what do you want us to do? And I'll have to say, let them in. And whatever we think about that, well, no, they shouldn't get in. Yes, they should get in. We will need to be incredibly patient with one another and not selfish with one another. Whether we're not in favour of getting the vaccine, and we know there are some folk who are part of our church family who are not going to get vaccinated, we'll have to be patient with them, as they will have to be patient with those who are nervous about the whole prospect of us mixing more. You see, we'll need to be incredibly patient and unselfish. We'll need to be countercultural. We'll need to set the tone and set the pattern for what we are going to look like. Patience comes from God. Above all, we're told that God is love, and we're also told that love, well, what is love? What is love? One of the things, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 tells us, one of the things about love is if you are loving, if love is at work, love is patient. It is patient. If you love someone, you are patient with them. So if you're married to someone and you love them, you are patient with them. If you've got an elderly parent who is beginning to diminish, you're watching them maybe disappear slowly, if you love them, you will be patient with them. Patience is a gift from God to us by His Holy Spirit. Some of us have a little bit more patience just naturally than others because we're made in God's image. But it's also something that God will pour out on His people as we seek Him. When we become His disciples, He comes to us by His Spirit and we become more like Him, more patient. And of course, as we've seen in other talks in this series, we know the more we know Him, the more that we know He is with us, the more we trust in Him, and the more we trust in Him, the more patient we are able to be. But we need to wait patiently for the timing of the Lord. You know, we want to see God at work in our midst, don't we? We want to see God at work in our midst now. We want to see God drawing people to himself now. How we long to have from God all that he's promised us. And we want it. When do we want it? What do we want? When do we want it? We want it now. We want stuff to happen now. But maybe God is asking us to learn and to practice patience for his timing to be at work. Do you remember the story of Abraham and his wife Sarah? Abraham and Sarah had been promised a child in their old age, and Sarah laughed at the thought of how an old lady could be fulfilled in their advanced years. Yet even after the promise had been given to them, that they had still had to wait 10 years before it was fulfilled. What a call for patience. And yet God's timing was the thing that was important. What God wanted was more important than what they wanted. Abram and Sarah lost their patience, and they tried to help God along a little bit by sending Abraham to see Hagar. And the result was Ishmael was born, and Ishmael is where the Arabs have come from. And we see all the issues that maybe have derived from all of that in the Middle East because of Abraham's impatience. They came to realize, Abraham and Sarah, that they needed to wait patiently for the timing of the Lord. Abraham's commended in Hebrews 6 and verse 15 for his patience in the end over all of this, when it says this, and so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. So we may get it wrong at times. We may try and help God along. We can guard ourselves against that and say, well, is this God's purpose and God's plan for me, for us at this time? There's another example. That was an example from the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there's another great example of this. Do you remember in Acts 16 where Paul and Silas are in the Philippian jail and the doors of the cell break open. There's an earthquake and the doors of the cell break open. And you would have thought in that opportunity, Paul and Silas are banged up in the jail and there's an opportunity. God has brought this earthquake and they're free to go. Do a runner, get out of there, make a run for it, Paul and Silas. But they don't, they stay there. They don't take the opportunity to get out of there. Instead, they just patiently waited there, knowing that it was not God's timing for them to go, knowing that they had to speak the good news to the worried jailer who potentially was losing his prisoners, and then challenge the authorities over their false imprisonment. See, God's timing and God's purpose was for Paul and Silas to be in the jail. But this opportunity came up to get away, and Paul and Silas were sensitive enough to God's timing and God's thinking to remain where they are. So the message to us is really clear. Be patient in every situation and wait patiently for his timing. If you've ever been in a situation where you're looking for the path ahead, what's God asking you to do? Where's God asking you to go? And you knock on doors and the door doesn't open, or the door does open and then it slams totally shut in your face. It can be so frustrating. But then the Lord leads you to the place that he wants you to be in. Every opportunity in ministry that I've had to be a church pastor has been like that. It's become clear with doors opening, doors closing, doors slamming in our faces where the Lord wanted us to be. But it requires great patience. Well, how do we know his timing? How do we know his timing? Well, this demands great faith. We believe we know that he's with us always. Then we must know that in one way or another, he will make his timing clear to us. And that's about trust. It's about relationship. It's about seeking God. That's why it's so important that we don't just wait till Sunday to spend time with God when we gather like this online, at home, or here in church. That we're taking time day by day by day to spend time with God. One of the things that maybe has been helpful over the last 16 months is just the increase in our prayer life, the opportunities to pray more because we've been meeting more online. have been there. And I hope that that has been helpful to people, to help them, remain patient in the face of difficult circumstances. And maybe it's helped build up your trust in your relationship with the Lord. So there is a need for us to wait patiently for the timing of the Lord. What are you waiting for today? What are you seeking from him today? What is his timing? Ask that question. What is his timing for you? But patience also means never giving up. Never giving up, never surrendering. One of the films that I watched over the course of the last few weeks was that great film by Christopher Nolan, Dunkirk. It's a little bit quirky in terms of there's a bit at the end with a Spitfire, a never-ending Spitfire that never runs out of ammunition and seems to be able to glide forever. It's a kind of, I think he's trying to say it was miraculous what happened at Dunkirk. But Churchill, Winston Churchill, and I think this speech is used at the end of that film. Churchill rallied the nation after Dunkirk with his famous "We will fight them on the beaches" speech, in which he said this. He said, "We will never surrender. We will never surrender. We'll fight them on the beaches, we'll fight them on the landing grounds, but we will never surrender." It's that kind of attitude, that form of patience, that form of perseverance that God advocates in us. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, which we read not so long ago, says this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So the gift of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the gift of God, is this patience, which means that even in the face of great trials, great tribulations, we can carry on through no matter how many times we fail, no matter what opposition to us, we can press on patiently until we reach the goal that Jesus is calling us to. And we can be inspired by that. We can be inspired by people who've experienced this. You know, we're in the time of the Olympics, and no doubt some of us are watching the Olympics. It's a bit odd because it's the other side of the world, so the timing's a little bit strange to us in terms of being able to watch it. But there are some great examples of this from the world of sports, from athletics in particular. Remember Roger Bannister? First person to run a four-minute mile. He ran in the Olympics. Before he ran the four-minute mile, he ran in the Olympics in 1952, and he was a bit of a failure. Well, he wasn't a complete failure, but he came fourth in the race. He didn't win, but he refused to give up. Many experts considered it physically impossible for a human being to run a mile in under 4 minutes. But that was Bannister's goal. He set the goal. That's what he was aiming for. And on May 6, 1954, 2 years after the Olympics, he became the first person to do it. And now runners do it all the time. So what's the point? Well, if you refuse to give up when you fail, you'll ultimately succeed. You just have to be willing to get back up and keep moving forward. Loads and loads of examples of that from the world of sport. Or from the world of politics, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States. Let's look a little bit at his history. He needed to be incredibly patient. 1832, Lincoln was defeated in the state legislature. 1833, he failed in his business. 1835, the woman he loved died. 1836, he had a nervous breakdown. 1838, he was defeated for the Illinois House Speaker. 1843, he was defeated for nomination to Congress. 1854, he was defeated for the U.S. Senate. 1856, he was defeated for nomination for Vice President. 1858, he was defeated again in a U.S. Senate race. But of course, today, he's considered one of America's greatest presidents. In all those cases, perseverance came after not giving up in the face of adversity. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says this. It says, "A righteous person may fall seven times and rise again." I love this verse because it also points us to Jesus in a way, doesn't it? A righteous person may fall seven times and rise again. It's pointing to the resurrection, the new life in Jesus. But it also reminds us that if we're trying to do what God wants us to do, God will help us rise again. So I wonder what you're feeling today. What are you feeling today? Are you impatient to receive that which you believe you need? Then don't give up. Trust in God. Persevere. Be very, very patient. Let me end with this. One of the key things in growing to be a patient person is to ask yourself, what is it that I need? What is it that I am seeking? What is most paramount? What's the paramount thing in my life? What is the focus of my life? Matthew 6, verse 33 says this, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You see, if we put God's kingdom at the heart of who we are, if it's the center of our being, our desire for him and what he wants, that can do nothing but help us grow to be more patient. As we go into this next phase of church life, and also hopefully as things begin to improve following the restrictions of COVID, we're going to have to be a patient people. We're going to have to be patient with one another as we work out how to do church, as we work out how to be around one another. How do we welcome one another into one another's homes again? How are we going to help those who maybe don't want to be in one another's homes just yet? They're not quite ready for that. That's why this is such an important topic this morning, because we need patience, and it's not something we can self-generate. We can try to do that, but we need the Spirit of God to fall upon us afresh, to grow in us a love for one another that will enable us to be patient with one another and show that patience to a needy world. Seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added to you. Let's pray. And so, Father, we thank you for this word this morning. We thank you for this fruit that you grow in us as we seek you. And boy, do we need patience today. Help us to be patient with one another. Help us to be patient with the world. Help us to be patient with those it is difficult to be patient with, whether it's loved ones or strangers or colleagues. Help us to shine with the patience that you have for us. And Lord, we long to see others turn to you. Help us to be patient as we pray for those who are far from you. And help us to show that in our words and in our actions. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.